Welcome back to the deep dive. If you're feeling that relentless pressure of AI, automation, and just all the market shifts happening right now, you are definitely not alone.
Oh, it's enormous pressure. And the typical response is to just try and optimize yourself. Work faster, learn more software, be more efficient.
Right, scramble harder.
Exactly. But the sources you brought us make this completely different argument. I mean, it's kind of revolutionary. It says that when the market is in a phase transition like this, collective infrastructure just beats individual optimization every time.
I love that framing. It's so powerful. So our mission today is a deep dive into what that actually means, into strategic resilience. We want to look past the immediate threats to find, well, the kind of economic structure that AI really can't touch.
Which brings us to the big question.
The central question,
Yeah.
what kind of value can't be extracted?
It's just the highest leverage question you can ask right now.
Yeah.
Because most business models, I mean, almost everything from SaaS to freelance work, it's all built on extractive value.
Okay, so what does that mean? Extractive value.
It's where you create a product, you capture its value, and then you scale it totally independently of the customer relationship.
But the really fascinating insight here is that the most resilient value, it only exists through participation. It needs that sustained relationship just to be created in the first place.
Yeah, if you try to pull it out, package it up and sell it to someone else, the value just poof, it evaporates.
And the sources gave us the perfect analogy for this.
They did, the barn-raising principle.
Let's start there because it completely flips the script on how we think about efficiency. We picture an Amish community's barn raising 40 people one day, bam, a finished barn, and we see like peak industrial optimization.
We do. We see it as a hyper-efficient labor pool. But the community members in the research, they're super clear about this. The efficiency, that's just a byproduct.
So it's not the main point.
Not at all. The actual primary product of that day's work is the relationship itself. The barn is just the proof.
So, if the relationship is the product, what does the community actually lose if they just say, you know what, let's hire a contractor?
They lose five crucial non-extractable things. This is really the five layers of resilience. So first, they lose the strengthening of relationships that comes from working shoulder to shoulder.
Okay. And second, I imagine it's that reciprocal obligation that's created. I help you with your barn, now you're kind of on the hook to help me with mine. Mutual aid.
Exactly. Third, they lose that vital intergenerational knowledge transfer. The elders are teaching the younger members real skills right there on the job.
Makes sense.
Fourth is that deep sense of belonging you get from achieving something really hard together. And then finally, just the raw foundational trust that's built through shared physical effort.
And none of those five things, trust, belonging, knowledge transfer, relationships, mutual aid, none of it can be packaged up and sold separately.
You get a barn, sure. But you sacrifice the entire community's social and economic resilience to get it.
So that example really lets us draw a clear line between the two economic models then.
It does. Let's lay it out. On one hand, you have the extractive value model. That's what we all know. You make a product independent of a buyer. You scale it by just replicating it, selling to thousands of people.
And the value exists whether you ever talk to the customer again or not. It's super scalable.
Right. But on the other hand, you have the participatory value model. And here, the value is created through the relationship. It needs both people to show up and be engaged.
And you don't scale by replication. You scale by what? Expanding the network of trusted relationships?
Precisely. And the key is the value only exists as long as that relationship continues.
So this gets us to the big insight for anyone worried about AI. Extractive value, because it's so scalable, is also incredibly vulnerable to automation.
While participatory value is, fundamentally unscalable, you can't replicate depth, but that's what makes it so AI resistant.
Okay, so let's apply this to the business world. AI is amazing at replicating extractive value.
If the deliverable, the thing you're selling, is separable from the person who made it, AI can probably do it, or it will soon.
Right, it can design a logo, write marketing copy, generate code, analyze data,
Yeah.
because the artifact is the value being sold.
But it just completely fails at participatory value. It has no context, no relationship history, no real presence.
So give me a real-world example of that. What's a participatory value that AI just can't touch?
Okay, imagine you're a high-level consultant. You've been with a client for, say, 5 years. You've seen them through leadership changes, a couple of mergers.
Okay.
An AI can generate a perfect strategic report.
Sure.
But it cannot understand that the new leader is sensitive to aggressive language, or that a certain department head needs to feel heard before they'll buy into a new idea. That's accumulated context. That's relationship knowledge.
It's the invisible stuff. AI can't architect a solution that fits a really specific, tricky company culture. It doesn't have that deep knowing to see the political pushback coming before you even write the first slide.
Exactly. And most importantly, AI cannot genuinely hold space for a difficult, strategic conversation. You know, the kind where people need to be vulnerable and think out loud. That requires human presence.
So if the value can be pulled out and sold, AI will do it cheaper if the value only exists in the relationship.
And the AI is a helpful tool, an assistant, but it's never the primary source of value.
You know, this connects so well to what the source is called the care work insight. It suggests that most of what we call knowledge work has always had this participatory core.
But we've spent decades framing it extractively. It's just easier to send an invoice for one logo design than it is for 20 hours of messy, relationship-driven dialogue that helped you find clarity.
We hid the real value inside the transaction.
We did. And that's the trap. Your real value was the week-long process of helping the client discover their identity. But you build for the extractive artifact, the logo.
Which is why traditional care work is cited as being, what, 92 to 98% AI resistant?
Right. You can't extract caring for a child and sell it as a commodity. The value is the developmental relationship. It's elder care, where the value is dignity and presence, not just checking boxes. It's teaching. It's therapy.
These are all inherently participatory.
The acts themselves are the value.
So for any professional listening, the lesson is that your deliverable, the report, the design, the code, it's often just the evidence of the relationship. The real value was the process of creating it together.
Yes. If your client fires you, they keep the report, sure, but they lose the process. They lose the accumulated context. And that's the truly valuable asset.
Which brings us to the three properties that really define this kind of durable, AI-resistant value.
Right. So property number one, the value exists only in the relationship. You can't take the context you built with client A and just sell it to client B. It's totally unique.
Okay. And second, it can't be extracted or replicated. You can copy a report template, but you can't copy 5 years of shared history and inside jokes and unspoken agreements.
And third, it requires ongoing participation to maintain. You stop showing up to your mutual aid meetings, you lose the benefits, you stop investing in that client relationship, the trust just erodes.
And these three properties, they basically exclude AI by definition.
Fundamentally, because AI cannot participate. It has no, what the sources call, skin in the game.
When you say AI has no skin in the game, what are we talking about? What's the human stake there?
Real participation, whether it's building a barn or a strategy, it requires mutual vulnerability. Both sides have to risk something. Both have to be changed by the interaction.
Can AI be vulnerable?
No. Can it be genuinely altered by your needs? No. It simulates empathy, and it does it very well, but it never actually experiences stakes.
And we as humans, we pick up on that. We detect that absence through what the sources call a felt sense.
That's it. It's that intuitive, almost gut feeling that the person across from you is truly invested, truly vulnerable, and not just, you know, running a script. Mm-hmm. A human caregiver feels emotional risk, and AI is just running an algorithm. And that lack of stakes is why it can never replace true care.
This just completely changes the economic conversation then. If resilience requires this kind of participation, how does the money actually work?
Okay, let's compare them. Extractive economics prices everything based on the deliverable. It's all about high volume, low margin, scale through replication.
Which leads to a huge risk of being commoditized. Like, you charge $5,000 for a website and you need 50 clients a year to hit your number. That's what, $250,000?
Right. It's scalable. But the second an AI can generate a decent website for $500, your whole model just collapses.
So what's the alternative?
The participatory economics model. Here, you price based on relationship depth and length. You're aiming for low volume, but high margin.
And you scale through network effects, not replication.
Exactly. The commodification risk is almost zero because you're pricing for trust, not a thing. So that same $250,000 in revenue, it might look like charging $25,000 a year for an ongoing strategic relationship with just 10 clients.
You can't possibly serve 50 clients at that level of depth.
You can't. And the revenue is the same, but the quality of life is profoundly different. Less marketing, less context switching, less chasing invoices. You trade the anxiety of competing on price for the stability of being indispensable.
You're pricing for years of understanding them, not for an hour of your labor.
That's it.
So, okay, if you're listening and you're convinced that this is the way to go, how do you actually start building this kind of non-extractable value?
The sources give us some great models to look at. First, worker cooperatives. The value is in the collective knowledge, the shared ownership. It's structurally built to resist extraction from the outside.
Okay, and second, mutual aid networks. Things like a neighborhood child care co-op. The value is pure trust built over time. You just can't buy that.
And third, membership communities. The value grows with engagement. A new member can pay the fee, sure, but they can't buy their way into the shared history and context that the longtime members have.
The Amish community is really the blueprint for all of this. The quilting circles, the shared equipment, the social fabric is the economic engine.
So let's make it really actionable for someone listening right now. Four steps to start transitioning your own business.
Okay, step one.
Step one for week one. Identify your current participatory value. You need to audit your projects. Ask yourself, what relationship-based value am I creating that I'm basically giving away for free right now?
What do my best clients thank me for? Is it the report, or is it the fact that I was a trusted thinking partner who asked them the right questions?
That's the question. Which conversations are you not billing for, but that your client can't get anywhere else? Once you know that, you go to step two.
Step two, weeks 2 to 4. Make it explicit. Stop hiding that value inside a transaction.
Stop calling it a website project. Start calling it an ongoing strategic partnership or a relationship retainer. Name the thing you're actually selling.
And then step three for months 2 and 3, price for depth, not volume. This is the scary part, right? It means redesigning your entire offer.
It does. You move from project fees to retainers. You charge for your accumulated context, your availability, your insight. Not just the artifact you produce at the end.
And finally, step four, months 3 to 6, build cooperative infrastructure. The sources are clear on this. You can't do this alone.
No way. Find 3 to 5 other people making a similar shift, a designer, a fractional CFO, a coach. Share what you're learning because the transition itself has to be participatory.
Of course, but we have to address the big concern here. Someone's listening and thinking, this sounds nice, but isn't it just less profitable?
It's a fair question. And there are three answers. First, as we showed, it might not be less profitable at all. You just trade high volume for high depth. Your revenue could be the same, but your quality of life will be way better.
Less overhead, less stress.
Second, profit isn't the only metric. If you value a sustainable pace and meaningful work, participatory models win hands down.
And the third point is the most important one. This isn't really a moral choice. It's a strategic one.
It is. Extractive models are great for stable markets. They maximize profit when everything is predictable. But participatory models, they maximize resilience during a phase transition.
When the ground is shifting, you don't want the tallest building. You want the deepest roots.
That's it. AI can generate any deliverable you can imagine. It can simulate any conversation. But it cannot truly participate. It can't be vulnerable, and it can't risk its own future on a shared effort with you.
And that really brings us to the final, most powerful insight from this whole deep dive. Because this kind of value is all about mutual obligation and shared effort. The decision to shift isn't something you can do alone in a spreadsheet.
The question isn't, should I shift my business model? The real question is, who am I shifting with?
Find those people this week. Start that audit of your own value and figure out who your co-conspirators and resilience are going to be. Because that shared effort, that collective infrastructure, that's the one thing automation can never, ever take from you.